reading is Romans 1, 16 through 21. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For it is in the righteousness of God it is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Romans 1, 16 through 21.
At my office recently, we have some software development that takes place in the country of China. There are some people within our office that went over there recently and visited and did some work in a small town called, I doubt that I'm pronouncing it right because I don't speak Mandarin very well, I'm sure, but Xi'an, I believe, is what it is. Now, I've never been there. In fact, I've never seen it personally. In fact, this particular town, I've never even seen pictures of it. But I can tell you this, I truly believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that such a town exists. Why do I say that? I say that because I've talked to people that have been there, that have seen it. Eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses that have walked the streets of the town, that have seen and engaged the shops and the merchants in the town. Engage with the people that live and work in that town. Stayed in the hotels in that town. I've seen proof and documentation that they were there and they engaged in these things. I believe in my heart that this is the same type of conviction that the writer in 1 John refers to. If you'd like to turn with me to there as we begin our study this evening. The writer, 1 John in the first chapter says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. We find, if we read down in the next two verses, what he was talking about when he says this message that they witnessed, that they referred to. What was that message? Verse 5, he says, this is a message we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. This is the same conviction, the same witness that we feel when and read about when Paul, in his writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, passage we're all familiar with, Paul says, I know, not I think, not I believe, I know whom I hath believed, and I am convinced that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Brethren, I believe with all my heart that there is a God, that He is the one true and living God, that He created the heavens and the earth, that He is loving, that He is righteous and just in all things. I believe firmly with all my heart that He loved me enough to give His only Son, as we read about in John 3:16, so that I, a sinner, might have everlasting life with Him. I believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We read about in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I believe that through His Son, by God's grace, I can have redemption and forgiveness of my sins. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, we'll read later. I believe that there is a place of everlasting fire and eternal punishment reserved for those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, we'll read in a minute. And it's with hope and joy in my heart that I believe that there is a place reserved in heaven for those that obey and seek and love the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Again, we will read. So let me ask you again the question that we want to start off our lesson with here is, do you believe? I'd invite you to follow along in your Bibles this evening as we study together this question. If we turn to our first passage this evening, to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, a passage that we're all familiar with, serves as the foundation of our belief. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If we can agree on this one basic point, brethren, I believe we have a good foundation with which to study and be unified. But let's consider the Scriptures together on this point tonight. Just as my choice to believe or not believe in the town of Xi'an exists in China doesn't change the fact that it exists one bit. It either exists or it doesn't exist, whether I believe it to be true or not. Neither in the same way does my belief in God or disbelief in God change His existence one bit. It makes no difference whether I believe it or choose to believe it or accept it or not. It either is or it isn't. We read in that Genesis chapter 1 that it is. But let's say for argument's sake that you're not convinced of that. Let's turn, if you would, to Romans the first chapter. It's a passage that we read in our scripture reading this evening. Romans the first chapter, beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Listen closely. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, we find that God, through His very creation, very nature of the things that He created, has provided enough evidence for all men everywhere, of all ages and all generations, to at least acknowledge, honor, respect, and worship Him as the sovereign God. So much so that we are without excuse for not acknowledging Him and worshiping Him as God. You see, when He talks about all men without excuse, He's talking about me, brethren. He's talking about you. He's talking about your family members. He's talking about your boss. He's talking about your co-workers. All men are without excuse. You see, we can choose to believe His existence or not. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't change the existence of God and His eternal power. Let's look further in our Romans passage. If we look down to verse 24, we find that this sovereign God that created the heavens and the earth has determined that there is certain behavior that His creation should not participate in, and that He finds unfitting for them. Let's begin reading in verse 24. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves a penalty of their error which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. God has determined these things are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You see, brethren, we find that this behavior God has determined is unfitting for His creation. And if we look in verse 32, we find that not only is this practice unfitting, but those who practice it. Not only those who practice it, but those who approve of those who practice it are deserving of death. Is that clear? I don't know how it can be more clear, brethren. Straight from the Scriptures. Let's build on that thought. Let's continue reading in our text. Let's turn to the third chapter of Romans, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If we were to turn over to the sixth chapter, verse 23. For the wages of this sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, if we stop right there, it's a pretty bleak, pretty hopeless, pointless, and maybe even depressing thought. Those people that participate and approve of those things are deserving of death, and all of us have sinned in some way, and the wages of that sin is death. That's kind of depressing. But the Scriptures don't stop there, and neither will we in our study tonight. There's good news. There's hope. Let's turn, if you would, to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. Let's begin reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and earth, which are on earth in Him. In Him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. So if we read that, we see that God had a plan before the creation of the earth, before the earth was even founded, that He had a plan. That's good news. We saw that we can have forgiveness and redemption in this plan. Forgiveness from those sins. We can be holy and blameless through Christ. Not only do we have this promise, but if we look down further in verse 14, it says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. We not only have this plan revealed to us, but we have a guarantee, an inheritance given to us that tells us that we may know of our salvation until such a time as we are redeemed back. If we were to continue looking in the Gospels, the book that we refer to as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, refer to them as the Gospels because that's what it means, is good news. And it is indeed good news. These books tell us of God's plan unfolding in the fullness of time. We would turn to John, the first chapter. Begin reading in the first verse, John, the first chapter, in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We look down in verse 14, it tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. You see, as we find this plan unfolding, we find that Word, the Christ, God's only begotten, coming to this earth, dwelling among us as flesh. We read in the gospel books of His temptation, His birth, His physical birth. We read of His being baptized. We read of His teaching the multitudes and all that would listen to Him. We read of Him teaching His apostles all things so that they may carry on the work when He leaves. We also see Jesus' death and sacrifice, His crucifixion recorded in these books. And then finally, as they close in each, we find the record of His resurrection from the grave on the third day. Before His ascension, after that resurrection, before His ascension, we find Him speaking to His apostles and preparing them for the work that is to come before them. We see this in Matthew, we see it in Mark chapter 16, we see it in Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, I'd like for us to turn to. As He tells them what He expects them to do as He ascends to the Father, we find in verse 44, He turns to them, He says, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Now turn real quick, if you would, over to Acts, the second chapter. Acts, the second chapter. We find the apostles still tarrying as they were told and directed to. We find them still tarrying in Jerusalem. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." You see, brethren, they were doing exactly what they were told. What was transpiring was exactly what the Lord said would happen. This message that they preached was very simple. It consisted of 4 points. Jesus, the man, the physical man that you know, was approved of by God, as witnessed by His miracles, the things He's done. You are witnesses of that yourself, many of you. Then He tells them that you, the Jews, are the ones that killed this physical person. Then He points out that God raised Him from the dead on the third day, and then now, finally, He's exalted at the right hand of God. The reactions to that sermon were that the crowd was pricked in their hearts and asked, "What shall we do?" And the question is the same today, and the answer is the same as well. Peter tells him in verse 238, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins." When we see these things, brother, I don't see how we cannot believe. You almost have to intentionally come at this with another thought in your mind, because if you open your Bible and you read through these passages, it's laid out very plain, very plainly. We have God's full plan detailed, revealed, unveiled right before our eyes. It is recorded by inspired men of God, many of whom who were eyewitnesses to the entire life cycle of our Lord and Jesus on this earth. If the Gospels are good news of God's plan for our redemption. Why is it that this is such good news? What makes it good news? Well, we read in Ephesians chapter 1 that all the blessings of God are contained in Christ. So the question becomes, how do we get access to those blessings? Let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians, the third chapter. We'll begin reading in verse 26. Galatians, the third chapter. We read, "For all you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise." What promise is he referring to there? He's referring to the promises that were made to Abraham in Genesis, the 12th chapter, talking about that through his seed all nations would be blessed. What is that blessing? We read about it. They're all in Christ. What is the blessing? Look a little lower in our Ephesians passage that we read, and we find out the blessing was the redemption and forgiveness of our sins through Christ. I don't see how it gets any more plain than that, brethren. Once we have placed ourselves into Christ through this baptism, then we are obligated. We have an obligation through our love for God to obey His Word. If we look at passages such as John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." The two cannot be separated. If we were to look at passages such as Galatians chapter 5, hopefully you're still close to that from our earlier reading. Galatians chapter 5, we were to look at verse 16. It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions." These get a little tougher as we go. For most of us, it's not tough to avoid murder. But they get a little tougher as we go. Jealousies, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's a tough one. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. You see, those are the things that are expected of us as we walk after the Spirit. If we look at the passages further, we find not only is it enough for us to put off that old man and put on the new man, but we have to continue our walk. We'll turn to 1 John again. 1 John chapter 1. This is for Randy. Randy, it says, "I always find a way to work John 1, 1 John 1 into a passage." 1 John chapter 1. Let's look at that in verse 7. We read it earlier. It says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We must walk in the light as He is in the light. Let's look at other passages. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." After you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Hebrews the third chapter. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. Beware, let's start back in verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. We must hold steadfast until the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which you also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. We must hold fast. It's not enough to make that first step. It's not enough to put off the old man and put on the new. We must walk to the end. We must persevere. We look at the letters to in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches. Each one of those contain an exhortation at the end of it, that the crown of life, the prize goes to those that overcome, that hold fast, that persevere until the end. It's not enough to simply start the journey. We also know, as we look at this, brethren, that there will come a time in the fullness of this time where God will bring His righteous judgment. If we looked at Romans, the second chapter, verse 6. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. Let's back up to verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each according to his deeds. If we turn over to the 11th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 11, verse 22 says, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So as we read through this, we find that there will come a judgment. I believe with all my heart that there will be this time of judgment when God holds us accountable for the things that we say and the things that we do. Whether we have made that commitment to Him, whether we have obeyed Him and demonstrated our love to Him through our obedience to His Word. If we have taken ourselves and placed ourselves into Christ through the baptism, then we have that opportunity to partake in those blessings. The Scriptures told us that we are partakers of Christ if we have put Him on. And we put Him on through that baptism, Galatians chapter 3. So as we look at this, brethren, the conclusions that we must come to is, number one, that there is a God that created the heavens and the earth. We must come to the conclusion from the passages that we read that those practicing unfitting behavior are deserving of death. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9 tells us that there is a place of fire and vengeance reserved for those who do not obey God, nor acknowledge Him as God, nor submit to His will. Ephesians, the first chapter, we read in verses 3 through 14 that God had a plan. He prepared this plan before the foundations of the earth were laid, that He would redeem us back to Him through His Son. We read in Romans, the first chapter, that the gospel is God's power unto salvation for everyone that believes. We must come to the conclusion based on what we read that it doesn't really matter whether our choice to believe it or not, our choice to accept it or not, or obey it or not, has any direct impact on the fact that it is true. You can choose to believe it, you can choose to accept it, you can choose to deny it. It doesn't change the fact that it exists. And from the passages that we read, that we are all held accountable for that gospel. So I would ask you tonight, as we consider these things, again, do you believe? And if so, what is your response? We look at Acts chapter 8, verse 39, we find one response. Acts chapter 8, verse 39. We find the Ethiopian eunuch. Let's start in verse 38. It says, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Let's look at another response. Matthew, the 19th chapter. We find the parable of the rich young ruler that we're all familiar with, as he comes to the Lord and he says in verse 18, he says, he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbors yourself." And the young man said, "All these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." What was the response of this young man? Verse 22, "When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." We ask that this evening, that you consider the things that we've talked about. Consider the plain truths from God's Word. We ask it and hope and pray that we've all approached these with an open and honest heart as we've examined these passages for what they are. I believe if you've done that, I don't believe there's any other conclusion you can come to except for the fact that we must be in Christ, and to get into Christ, we must do that and show our obedience through baptism. When we've done that, we must put away those things. We must repent. Put away those things which we did before. Put on the new man, new behavior, kind, loving, patient. We should be more Christ-like. And not only do we start that journey, but we must be faithful to the end. I don't know how you avoid that conclusion. So we ask that you consider these things tonight, and we ask that if you need to make your life right, if you've not put yourself in that situation where you can take advantage of those blessings, or you have done that, but you've not persevered, don't delay. Don't delay. We're not guaranteed another day. We would ask that you continue to search the Scriptures and study. And if there's any way that we can help you in your decision to make your life right with God, we ask you to do that as we stand and sing.
Almost persuaded now to now some soul to save, go.
seated.